It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Well, here's what I would say. No one on Edmonton's roster has forgotten November 9th. No one on Edmonton's roster has forgotten that that was probably the loss that did in their head coach. They were not pleased to see their coach dismissed. No disrespect to Chris Knobloch. Mm-hmm. But this was not a group that felt a change was needed at that position. They were angry at themselves. They're angry at the result on November the 9th. They feel they should have won that game. And I don't think you have to remind Edmonton anything about San Jose tonight, because everyone on that roster remembers well. And if the Sharks are going to pull off a win tonight, they're likely going to have to do it against Edmonton's very best game with a far more confident club than the one they faced on November the 9th when the Oilers were 2-8-1 and really struggling.
A word of warning from Jack Michaels, the play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers, who joined me on Thursday afternoon on the build-up, and what he expressed in that statement when I asked him about where the Oilers are right now and what they're thinking about the Sharks, turned out to be entirely prophetic, turned out to be entirely accurate. And the San Jose Sharks got the brunt of what Edmonton has to offer in last night's game. San Jose was starting Magnus Crona, his first NHL start ever. They did not show up around him. In the first period, the Sharks completely gave control of that game to Edmonton, and Edmonton punished them shift after shift, time after time. It started on the first shift of the game. Edmonton played it like they were on the power play, and then within the first minute of the game, right there at the 60-second mark, Edmonton takes a 1-0 lead, and they simply would not let up. They pummeled the Sharks in the first period. They landed a knockout blow far before this game came to its conclusion by way of the time, but the game was over then and there. The Sharks were down 4-0. The way that Edmonton has been playing since they made the parting of ways with Jay Woodcroft is an entirely different team, and San Jose offensively right now has no ability to counter that. And it was just a really, really frustrating performance from the Sharks, because in that situation, knowing what they were up against, knowing what Edmonton was going to bring right off the bat, they were not ready for it. And that's what I have the biggest issue with out of last night's game, is Edmonton was going to come hot out of the gate. They were going to come at you with a flurry. They were going to try to do everything they could to give themselves an early advantage against San Jose. And the Sharks seemed completely caught off guard by that. That's the frustrating part out of that game. And I don't blame David Quinn. I just look at the guys on the ice. It's like you've got a guy making his first ever NHL start, and the effort put around him to start that game was simply not good enough. And then the Sharks played a much more sound style of hockey. But at that point, you can also make the argument that Edmonton had given themselves a 4-0 buffer. Kaapo comes into the game in relief of Crona, and that game was pretty much over at that point. They added one on for insurance, I guess, and there was just not much the Sharks that were going to be able to do to get themselves back into that game. And you start thinking about a lot of things out of this game. Like, should they have even started Crona in that situation? Because you know going into that game, Edmonton is going to try and do everything they can to absolutely blitz the young and inexperienced netminder. And then you also think, okay, well, once Kaapo got in, he only gave up one goal. So should they have started him in the first place? Because he ended up playing 40 out of 60 minutes, and he's played 5 out of 6 periods in the last 2 games. And I don't think that David Quinn ever thought that it was going to be that bad. But, you know, Kapo made some big stops and he picked up where he left off against LA, in which he was not the problem in that game. But, you know, right now the Sharks are kind of all over the place. And I think that's a little bit indicative of what they've been up to this point of the season. They have not been able to really find themselves as a team. If we go back to the early parts of the year, they go and start 0-10-1, and then they're able to find themselves with just a little bit more of some sort of a semblance of what they are trying to be, and they started winning some games, and they started playing better everywhere, and then they also started to see some offense, and they had some great comeback wins, and they had some great play, you know, going out onto the road. But now, since they've gotten back off that road trip, ever since they got that 2-1 win over Winnipeg, that was the start of their offense disappearing. Because we go back to that road trip that started right after Thanksgiving. They lost 3-0 in Boston. Okay, Boston's a really good team. That's relatively understandable. Then they get their first road win of the year, beating the Devils. They scored 6 in that game, then scored 5 in a loss to the Rangers, then scored 5 in an overtime win against New York, then scored 6 in the overtime win against Detroit, in which they fell behind 4-0. Then they had 4 in the shootout loss to Vegas. And then since then, it's been 2 against Winnipeg, none against Arizona, 2 against Colorado, 1 against LA, 2 against Arizona. They did score 4 against Vancouver, and now they have scored 1 against LA and 0 against the Oilers last night. And, you know, we just look all over the place at this season. I mean, we can take the easy way out and say, well, when they're not scoring, they're not winning. Like, thank you, Ted. Let's all pat me on the back for such a hot take. But the offense is there while they simultaneously bleed goals, or it's not there while they still give up a good amount of goals but do not find themselves in the game. And it's really a question of where the Sharks are organizationally and where they are going forward. Because I remember when they beat Winnipeg, people were saying, hey, they're only 7 points out of the playoffs. And I even talked about it with the hockey guy on the buildup when he was on a couple weeks ago about, okay, what happens if the Sharks get ahead of schedule and end up not having as high of a draft pick as they maybe would have wanted? And in fact, let's get the hockey guy's answer on that.
I could see, like, last year at the deadline, we saw Detroit and Washington within shooting distance of the playoffs, and they decided both cases they were going to sell, and they sold off UFAs. They picked up prospects, draft picks without a full sell. And I could see San Jose being in a similar situation where anybody's pending UFA, maybe if they're six points or further back of a playoff spot when the deadline rolls around, I could see Greer, as long as he, you know, does the whole press conference and says, okay, this is where we're at, this is what we're doing, and this is the long-term future, this is the vision I got. I think fans understand. I think fans are more understanding of that right now than they maybe were in the past. They understand that you've got to go through what you got to go through. You don't want to lose these assets for nothing. So I wouldn't be surprised if San Jose ends up being a team that sells at the deadline, even if they keep it up. And even if they're within, I'd say, 7 points or 8 points, I could still see Greer selling at the deadline. But again, he's got to be transparent and say, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do.
So it's interesting to note that there was a sense of, even when the Sharks were playing much better hockey, that there was still going to be sales at the deadline. There was still going to be a overall sense that they were still building for the future and not trying to do anything too quickly. Because I think right now the Sharks are having a correction to the correction. They're coming back down to earth from where they were. I don't expect them to always be losing 11 games in a row or 7 games in a row or however many this ends up being before they get a win. But I do think that no matter where things were going, the San Jose Sharks were going to be sellers at the deadline and they were going to build towards the future. And I think that that is still the plan. And while it's frustrating right now that they are losing games again consistently and not finding their offense and not finding themselves with very inspirational performances, I think that the end result is that the Sharks were not exactly going to really invest in this team at the deadline and get themselves, you know, right back into a playoff push or something like that. I think it's worth noting that they have played better at certain points of this season, but the grand scheme of where the Sharks are at this point is a team that is still fighting for their future. And one way or another, this year was always going to be about the future. And I'm okay with that, as long as, like you heard the hockey guy say, Mike Greer was very transparent about what he was doing and where he's going and what he's trying to do with this team. Because, yes, the Sharks do have cap space coming up this summer, but how is that cap space best used? Like, can they take on bad contracts in conjunction with the acquisition of more draft picks and more young prospects? Is that the best use of it, or do you try and invest that money and turn things around as quickly as possible? Only Mike Greer knows the answers to those questions, right? Like, only Mike Greer is going to be the one who's going to show us what exactly he's trying to do, how quickly he feels he can turn it around, and what he thinks this team is capable of in the next 1 to 2 years versus the next 3 to 5 years. Because I still think it's more of a long-term trend of building this team back. But at the same time, you do want to give your fans something to cheer for. You do want to give them something to root for. And a 5-0 loss to Edmonton tonight was not something that you're going to feel very good about. And they jumped the Sharks. The Sharks didn't have the appropriate response in the first period. It took them to switch the goalies, get Crona out of there, put Kapo in, and have that necessary reaction that they didn't play well enough in front of Magnus Crona and give him the effort that he deserved. And I understand that David Quinn and franchise objective is to be, okay, let's not crush this young goalie's confidence, because the two times he's been out there, the team has not played well in front of him. We look at that game against the Pens, and we look at this game against Edmonton. There has not been a whole lot great from the Sharks when he's been in net, and that's not on him. Now, I'm not here to absolve him. I think that there's some pucks he probably wants back, but at the same time, I take more umbrage with the way the Sharks played that first period. They were just completely manhandled by Edmonton, and right now they probably are looking at this upcoming game against Colorado and trying to figure out how they can be that much better. Because again, on the other side of that game against Colorado, you're home for three, but it's Detroit, it's Winnipeg, and it's Toronto, which all three of those teams pretty good. And then you go out on the road, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, and Chicago before you're back home again on Saturday the 20th against Anaheim. So this is a tough, tough stretch for the Sharks right now. And, you know, there are no easy outs. If you lose on Tuesday to Detroit after you lose to Colorado, you know, then we're looking at 9 wins in a row. And then Winnipeg would make it 10. And then Toronto would make it 11. And then Toronto again would make it 12. And, you know, you keep on adding on to that. And it gets out of hand in a hurry. And that's what the Sharks need to do, is have that come to Jesus moment like they did earlier this year when they lost to Boston 3-0. And then they bounced back and got that win against the Devils, had a very good showing against the Rangers and came back and really just got a little bit of momentum to have that much more of a successful road trip. And at 3-2-1 on that trip, and then coming home and beating Winnipeg, they had won 6 out of 9. Things were trending in the right direction. You know, injuries play a factor here. The Sharks have not been the same since Nico Sturm went down. I think that's one that's maybe getting overlooked. Obviously, the loss of Mackenzie Blackwood due to illness, that's a factor as well. You had Barabanov. He missed some time due to illness. The Sharks lead the league in man games missed due to injury this year. These are all factors. The Sharks are in a talent deficit, and when you take just a little bit away from them, it has a cascading effect. And, you know, losses are okay. I think that we all have to be honest about where the Sharks are right now. Losses are going to happen this year. The Sharks aren't done losing. I think it's the type of demoralizing, destructive losses that we've seen in a couple of these games. Like against the Kings, you know, you gave up 2 goals in 13 seconds. To your fan base, that's going to be viewed as unacceptable. To the opposition, that's going to show that they can kind of have their way with you. And LA controlled and dominated that game, and the Sharks didn't have an answer. And then in this game against Edmonton, the Sharks did not have nearly enough pushback early in the game against Edmonton. Edmonton completely just dominated that first period. They were up 4-0. They could have been up more. Let's be honest about that. They were not up more, but they could have been. And the Sharks didn't have enough pushback. I know afterwards, Tomas Hertl said that, you know, they had some good looks and they couldn't find the back of the net and they may have been able to get themselves back into it. And, you know, I'm sure he's got his view on the game, but I saw an uninspired Sharks performance out there on the ice on a night where they distinctly needed to be better. And that's something that they all need to look at themselves in the mirror. And I do give the Sharks credit this year. When they've had these look in the mirror moments, they have responded. They've come back with better performances. They've been able to have, you know, a really good bounce back type night. The question now is that this one wasn't outrageous, right? It was 5-0, but it felt like there was a distinct lack of inspired performance from the Sharks. Like, you didn't have something that was going to make you stand up on the edge of your seat and watch them get back into that game, even though they did settle things down. Settling things down isn't the same as fighting your way back into it. So that makes this game coming up against Colorado on New Year's Eve all the more important, as the Sharks do look to kind of rectify what's been going on, get some more offense, find their footing once again, and give themselves the type of performance they know they're capable of. Because I know that as frustrated as we are all out on the outside, internally, they've got to be going mad. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. That's coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
There's McDavid, throws it back to the point, takes it back now, right back to Bouchard. He ripped the shot, but it goes wide of the Sharks' rookie goaltender. The pressure maintains as here's Zach Hyman on the ice now. He gives it over to Ryan McLeod, moving in, shoot, score! All that pressure by the Edmontonians, and finally McLeod on the hot line with Dreisaitl and Hyman comes up big, snapping one from the left circle that gets by Crona, and it's 1-0 Oilers exactly 1 minute into this game.
Well, I feel bad for him. We didn't do a good job playing defense in front of him tonight. And, you know, you take him out, really protect him in a lot of ways and not subject him to, you know, our lapses defensively. And if you're going to have a chance to beat that team, you've got to be committed to playing defense. And we just got away from structure tonight defensively big time.
That is the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, David Quinn, bringing us back here on a Friday morning on Morning Tide, as the Sharks get a couple of days off before they head to Colorado, where they will be playing the Avs on New Year's Eve, 5 o'clock start time for us, as they finish off their 2023 calendar year and then finally get some extended time at home. One of the things that I pay attention to that probably is overlooked is the Sharks only had 4 home games in the month of December. Think about that, just 4. For comparison, in January, they are going to have 7. They're also going to have 7 on the road. That's something I like to call balance. And while it is not an excuse for why the Sharks have not been winning very much as of late, it is most definitely a factor. And you have to look at all the different factors that have been impacting the Sharks as of late. Injuries, also another one of those factors, especially up the middle, so many centermen going down. It's all added up to a losing streak for the Sharks, which now extends 7 games. Head coach David Quinn also talked about what the Sharks did so much to improve in the second and third periods beyond just making the switch at goalie.
We played better. We got more physical and stayed above them more and stayed inside them more, and they just played better hockey, you know. And you know, 2 of their goals are wrists from the point that hit people and go in, but we can do a better job boxing out. You know, one of their goals is a, you know, our net front, he just leaves a net front and ends up on the back of our net. So, you know, these are things that just can't happen, you know, and they're good enough to take advantage of it.
Tomáš Hertl weighed in after this one, just giving his thoughts on everything that went wrong.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, we didn't have much. You know, we give them too much, you know, in the first, maybe because we play, you know, back to back after a couple of days, but there's no excuse. But we still have the chances, you know. I think this is a team who can score goals, and you know, we have a couple, seems like every time we have 2-3 chances, they have nothing and they just go out of the way and they just score a goal, you know. And it's tough, you know, you can win a hockey game and you don't score goals, but today we easily could score 5 goals with the chances we had. We have to just bury them down, but the star for us was today tough.
Hertl also spoke about what the team can do to recapture some of the higher quality of play they were displaying earlier in the month of December before this 7-game losing streak.
You have to just stay with it, you know. Because when you look, you know, we in LA, we have great 25 minutes, you know, we actually didn't give them anything, you know, and we lose game in 2 minutes, you know, and same kind of today, we didn't have a good start, but they scored so quickly and the game was kind of over, you know, but we still have the chances, but, you know, I feel we definitely still better play better hockey than we did, you know, early the season, and we have to just work harder, you know, but we have to start bringing the chances because it's tough when you have so many chances, you know. I think we get pretty good looks and we just can't bury it and we keep pushing and they score two quick ones. I feel like it's wear us down, you know, because we feel like, oh, we should score, but they go out of way and they get in, they score. So it's tough, but we have to stay with it, but definitely we have to play harder and help our goalies a little harder, but we have to start burning these chances. We have to be hungrier, more around the net, because probably if I look, you know, like the chances was there, score a couple goals, you know, get us back in the game, but we have to be just more hungry and stronger and get the goals, you know, like when you look for some of their goals, you know, it's just get it to the net, you know, a couple of bounces, that's how you score in the league. It's not everything is pretty, and we have to be more greasy around the net.
And as a final question for Hertl, he was asked about how the team is so easily demoralized and discouraged. We've seen this two nights in a row now, giving up two goals in 13 seconds against LA, which essentially ended the game, and then giving up a goal just 60 seconds into the game against Edmonton. It seemed like the game was over from that point on.
It's tough, you know. Everybody competitive, you know, and everybody try, you know, everybody working, you know. I can guarantee that everybody try to put everything there, but it's tough, you know, when you feel you play great hockey games and somehow, you know, you just give up two goals and stuff, but we have to be mental definitely stronger, you know. We probably this year, even we've been down a couple of times, you can come back in this league, you know, pretty quickly. But you know, lately, because we try pushing, we feel like we have the scoring chances, we don't put them in and our team just go and you know, they have two bounces, and especially I feel like if they score the bounces goals after skate, you know, I feel like that's what it's really putting down. But we have to like have the season, you know, like front of us, and we have to keep fighting. It's not just we end up, but like we fighting. We have to fight for our fans. We have to fight for every guy in the locker room, because you know it's family, you know, and you wanna give them best look, you know, for next season, you know, like, you know, whatever happened, you know, you want to help every single guy in this room, you know, because it's like family, and we have to just stay with it and do it, like I always say, do it together. That's the only way.
I think it's important to note that Hertl is acknowledging that there is a lot left in this season. The Sharks have only played 36 games. There are 46 games left. They have a lot of time to fight. They have a lot of challenge ahead of them. They have a lot of time to improve. There are also most likely going to be changes to this roster as we get closer to the deadline. And with Logan Couture out, and we don't know when he's going to be back, Tomáš Hertl is, for lack of a better term, the de facto captain for the time being. And so I think it's important that he puts it out there that the team is still fighting, that the team is still working to get their way better over the course of the year. It can't just be, okay, this is a lost season. You have to derive meaning. You have to find where you're going to have better performances, where you're going to be able to improve, where you're going to be able to make sure that you don't have too many performances like this. And I think it is worth noting, and I'm not trying to be too teal-tinted glasses here, but when they had games like this earlier this year, they lost 10-1 and 10-2 and 7-1. Now it's not quite to that same extent. They're losing 5-0. And while that's not anywhere close to the type of outcome you want to have, it is still noteworthy that it's a sign of improvement, of them being able to handle the adversity out there a little bit easier than what they had earlier in the season. So we go back and look at this first period. The Sharks gave up a goal at the 1 minute mark, and then they gave up a goal 10:15 in, then 14:55, then 17:32. That was a spanking over the course of that first period. It was 4-0. Then, halfway through the second period, the Sharks gave up one goal. It was 5-0 Edmonton, and they settled in. They had settled in from the start of the second period, and they were settled in for the entirety of the third period. Now, you can easily make the argument that Edmonton had settled in, obviously up 4-0. They added on to make it 5-0 for relative insurance, and we're going to coast from that point on. But then I would contend that what's the difference between this game and a game like Pittsburgh or Vancouver when they lost 10-2 to the Pens and 10-1 to Vancouver at the start of the month of November? Like, that to me is the big contrasting difference, because those games completely got away from the Sharks, and this one was actually kept relatively respectable. I don't think it's something that you're specifically proud of, but it didn't turn into something ugly that was one of those nights that you never want to remember in the history of the franchise, which is kind of how I think about those 10-1 and 10-2 losses to the Pens in Vancouver earlier in the month of November. This was a loss that, yeah, you got beat up, for lack of a better term, but it wasn't particularly awful. It wasn't particularly terrible. You had one bad period. And from that point on, the Sharks made some changes. They rectified things and just were able to be that much cleaner overall. Kyle Burrows was asked about what the Sharks need to do to clean things up defensively.
We just need to get back to doing our jobs, simplify, be hard. You know, we can look at the structure and we'll watch tape on that stuff, but a lot of it comes from work. A lot of it comes from the little things that kind of made us successful there for, you know, that span and of playing well defensively. I think that was our biggest asset in those games, and we got to get back to that.
And he also asked what was said to Crona after that first period when the Sharks just did not show up around him.
Short memory just for the guy. You know, it's tough. It's, like I said, it's not the way that we want to start for him. You know, first NHL game is supposed to be special, and, you know, obviously for us to let him down like that, it's tough.
Big picture, though, the job for the Sharks is now to break this 7-game losing streak. David Quinn.
You got to work hard, have a good attitude, and you can't let, you know, the losing get in the way of tomorrow and the next day. And you got to be a pro, and you've got to embrace the challenge, which we certainly have a big one coming up here in a couple days. So, you know, that's your job as a professional. You can't let, you know, one loss turn into another, four losses turn into five, and so on. You've got to have the wherewithal to, you know, reset yourself tomorrow and come back, and no matter what we do tomorrow, you're going to make yourself better and put yourself in a better mindset to perform better on Sunday.
One question I thought was interesting that was asked to David Quinn was whether or not there's a silver lining to the way the Sharks have been playing. Even though they've been losing, it's not the same type of losing they were doing earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, last night we got off to a really good start and kind of fade. Tonight we got off to a poor start and respond. So our problem is we just haven't strung 60, you know, minutes together, and it's hard to play 60 great minutes, but our lapses are a little bit too long and the lapses are a little too steep. You know, we've got to manage games better.
There is definitely a balancing act, and there is definitely the need to balance things out and play better overall from the start to the finish. But as much as this loss was frustrating, it didn't turn into one of those losses that we saw earlier in the year where everything completely got away from the Sharks. It was ugly. That was not what we saw last night. They got down 4-0. They didn't let in much after that. They gave up one more goal after that. I will take that versus falling by a final of 10-2 or 10-1 or 7-1 any day of the week. The Sharks could have let this one get away, but it didn't. And I think that's important to note. While it's not the be-all, end-all, it's not how little you lose by, it's more about finding out what you can do in these difficult moments. We've spoken so much this year about the Sharks' response to adversity, or so many times the lack thereof. This was a difficult situation. If we go back to that game against Vancouver, they gave up 4 goals in the first, 4 goals in the second, and 2 goals in the third. If we look at the game against the Pens, they gave up 2, 5, and 3. That's not what this was. This was a Sharks team that tightened up when they needed to, and while it was not the prettiest tightening up situation that we've ever seen, it was something that was not there earlier in the year. And I think that while we look for growth more than anything else, we have to identify growth in the various ways that it presents itself. And sometimes it's by losing in a more respectable fashion. And yes, I don't like 5-0 losses. I wish it had been a 5-4 loss if we're going to talk about how we wish losses occurred. I want competitiveness. I want entertainment. I want to be thrilled until the final moment of the game. That's not what happened in this one, but on the other side, it could have been a lot worse. All right, I will see you all on Sunday as the Sharks take on the Avs to end the 2023 calendar year. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.